Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School and studying a lesson about how Jesus healed a man that is born blind. In John chapter 9, we read in John chapter 9 and in verse 31, where the blind man said, or the man that had been blind said, "We knoweth that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth." Well, what about that? Does God hear the sinner's prayer? We're going to discuss that as we read Elam's notes in just a moment, for notes he made for the Sunday schools of December the 7th, 1924. Before we get there, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this Radio Bible School. So, John 9 and verse 31. Here's where we read that this man grew stronger as he proceeded. God had heard Jesus and opened his eyes, and he knew for this reason Jesus was a prophet and no sinner. His reason was, "We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Now, how did the rulers and the man, that's who the we are in this, how did they know that God heareth not sinners? God had taught that if any regard iniquity in my heart, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 66 and verse 18. In Proverbs 15 and verse 29, we read, "Jehovah is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." And then we read, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination," Proverbs 28 and verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open to their supplication, but the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil." 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. "If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." John 5, 14 and 15. Prayer must be of faith, and it must be in penitence, and it must be in humility and deep reverence toward God. It must be given with the spirit of forgiveness, and it must be in submission to God's will, as our lesson states, and in accordance with any other condition of acceptable prayer. Hence, this man knew that Jesus was not what these rulers said he was, but a prophet who feared God and did righteousness, that is, the will of God. John 9, 32 and 33, continuing his proof that Jesus was from God, the man said, "Since the world began, it was never heard that one opened the eyes of a man born blind. And if this man was not from God, he could do nothing of this kind." John 9:34. In response, but in hopelessness, the authorities attributed this man's blindness to sin, the sins of his parents, and said he was altogether born in sin. And they asked if he would presume to teach them. Unable to answer this humble, straightforward, frank, and true reasoning, they cast him out. This has been the course of all such characters and counsels that have been pursued ever since. True and godly men who have contended humbly and steadfastly for the will of God and their love for the truth, and with the same heroic courage, have been reviled, cut off, cast out, or even crucified by the very professed conservators of the right way of the Lord. Well, Jesus is going to be accepted here as the Son of God. Let me read to you John 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and finding him, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshipped him. Having heard that this man had been cast out of the synagogue, Jesus in sympathy and compassion sought him and said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" This man knew Jesus was a prophet and was from God, but he did not know he was the Son of God, so he asked, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" Jesus said to this man that the Son of God was standing before him, and he it was then speaking to him. The man declared his faith in Jesus as the Son of God and worshipped him. Worship here, as the margin says in the American Standard Version, means an act of reverence, whether paid to a creature or to the Creator. Physical healing is not conversion and did not necessarily lead to it. It led to conversion frequently, but not always. 10 lepers were physically healed, but only one, and he a Samaritan, returned to glorify God. And unto him Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," Luke 17:11-19. The 9 were not spiritually benefited, it seems. Opening this blind man's eyes finally led him to accept Jesus as the Son of God. Now the chief point in this whole chapter is Christ's sermon on himself as the light of the world. We read in John 9:5, "When I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then in John 9:39-41, "And Jesus said, For judgment came I into this world, that they see not, that they that see not may see, and they that see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said unto him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' and your sin remaineth." Jesus came into the world to save the world, but his coming revealed the difference between those who would walk in the light and those who would not, publicans and sinners in spiritual darkness who desired the light entered into the kingdom before the Pharisees and Sadducees who professed to have light. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Closing their eyes against the light, they added the sin of rejecting Christ to all of their other sins. Now that is the end of that particular Sunday school lesson. But at the very end of some Sunday school lesson questions that are included at the end of each of these little Sunday school lessons, we have this poem. It reads like this: "Let the world despise and leave me. It has left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me. Thou art not, like man, untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate me, and friends may shun me. Show thy face, and all is light." This rhyme is attributed to Henry F. Light, L-Y-T-E, Light. And now we come to our next Sunday school lesson. It is the raising of Lazarus that is found in John 11. And we're going to read that entire chapter, John 11:1-44. As we do, I want you to listen for the golden text. It'll be John 11:25, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And also, because of time restraints, I'm going to skip the reading of that chapter to the next class, but I do want to read the devotional reading, which is the 91st Psalm. And here we read in Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Jehovah, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with His pinions, and under His wings thou shalt take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 on thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Jehovah, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy tent. For He will give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent thou shalt trample underfoot. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, as we turn to the study of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, we're going to read about a place called Bethany. Bethany means a house of dates. It was a village of about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, just over the crest of the Mount of Olives. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. It was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we read in several places where Jesus would lodge there when He was visiting Jerusalem. It is from there that Jesus made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Near there, over against Bethany, from the Mount of Olives, Jesus ascended into heaven. Now here's some hints and helps for the teachers. Jesus' sermon on the light of the world and the one on the Good Shepherd were delivered at Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, before His crucifixion. And other important occurrences at that time are recorded. Between the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Dedication, John 10:22, some suppose that Jesus returned to Galilee and thence back to Jerusalem through Galilee and Samaria, eastward to the Jordan and through Perea beyond Jordan. It is supposed that the different accounts record this final departure from Galilee. Others suppose that Jesus remained in Jerusalem or in Judea during this interval, making a final and mighty effort to teach and to save this nation. It has been stated, it is not necessary to know nor possible to give the exact chronological order of the events in Christ's history. We can group the events together and know that they occurred during a certain period of His life. The Feast of Dedication marks a point of time in His history. This feast was instituted to commemorate the purging of the temple and the rebuilding of the altar after Judas Maccabees had driven the Syrians out in B.C. 164. It began about the 20th of our December and continued 8 days. It was observed somewhat like the Feast of Tabernacles and in all towns and cities of Judea as well as Jerusalem. It was not by divine appointment, and Jesus did not observe it as such, but as a cultural holiday among the Jews. Jesus used the occasion, an opportunity, to teach the people. He discoursed and preached unto them, and that sermon is recorded in John 10, verses 22 through 38. Now we're going to put a mark there and come back. You may want to turn to John 10. Chapter 11 for our next class.